Morning, church. Is Sue in here this morning or is she out with the kids? I can't see her. Well, if you see Sue Mathis, if you know Sue Mathis and you see her, she's the lead of our family ministry, and today is her birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old, but it's getting up there. Sue is a really important member of our team here and has blessed us so much, so be sure to bless her today. As Sandy mentioned, this is Project Kids Eat celebration today. And so that's why a lot of us are wearing the t-shirts. If you want one of these t-shirts, $30, go see Julie. Julie, raise your hand. Always sitting in the front row. And we had to beg her to move down to the front this morning. $30 feeds a kid for a week, right? Plus you get a snazzy t-shirt out of it. So hope you'll do that. If you're new around here, Project Kids Eat has been going on for how many years? 27 years. Carolyn Maddox started this. Carolyn Maddox, raise your hand. Carolyn Maddox started Project Kids Eat. If you're new here, you want to start to get to know people, that's a great place to start right there, Carolyn Maddox. And Project Kids Eat is just really at the heart of who this church is and what we want to be about. This summer we went into 4 hotels, 3 apartments every weekday for the summer and fed breakfast and lunch to all the kids in those locations. Many of those children rely on breakfast and lunch at school, don't have it in the summertime. And it was our honor to do that. And Julie leads the charge on that and is growing this ministry, working on training other churches to do the same. So we're excited about that. Also, just a little side note, wasn't it great to have A.J. Garcia on stage this morning leading us in worship? It's awesome. I love that. I love that our kids love to use their gifts, and A.J. is really gifted. She leads at her school often, and so thanks, A.J., for having the courage to do that. It was a blessing for us. If you don't mind one more time standing with us as we read this first text, I'm going to ask you to read this with me. We read this last Sunday. This is Psalm 23. So say it with me, church. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Thank you. Be seated. If you weren't here last week, Josh Thames, we're in this series called The Beloved, and we're rehearsing this over and over again. So for many of us, working on rewiring the way that we think about our relationship with God, affirming this truth that we are God's beloved and that God's love is beyond imagination, but it's worth exploring. And last week, Josh did an amazing job leading us through a difficult conversation about knowing God's love in the midst of our suffering. And he used this text and pointed out something that I'd not really dwelled on before, and that is this notion that there are a couple different ways to read Psalm 23 and the table in the psalm. Josh mentioned, as we journey through suffering, one of the affirmations of the beloved is, I'm going to save you. Sadly, not always according to our timing, right, church? But this promise that we repeat over and over again, I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem this. I'm going to redeem this brokenness, this injustice, this sorrow in your life. And so the table can be this future orientation that I'm journeying through the valley and I have a table waiting for me. And I think that that's fair, but Josh pointed out, he called it the table in the valley. I thought that this was really helpful. This notion that it's not just this table that is waiting, the table of justice, the table of love, the table of mercy, the table of redemption, but it is that we serve a God who so loves us that he chooses to build a table for us in the valley, in right at the heart of our sorrow and our suffering, even in that space in which we question if we are the beloved. We question God's presence and sometimes express frustration and discouragement, at moments wondering about his existence. God is the kind of God who builds a table in the midst of our suffering. I just want to talk about this for a couple of seconds this morning, then I'm going to invite Julie up to celebrate Project Kids Eat with us. I want to read a couple of passages from Luke. Luke is the gospel of the table. When you read Acts, which Luke also wrote, you should carry the gospel of Luke into his writing in Acts. Luke's answering this question, who's welcome at God's table? And it's a daunting question for those who live and surrounded Jesus in his journey. And Luke builds this case over and over again that everyone is welcome at Jesus' table. We're in a little bit, we're going to celebrate communion around table this morning. And we make this affirmation over and over again that we believe everyone is welcome at Jesus' table. Jesus seemed to welcome everyone. And so we don't think that it's our job to unwelcome someone. So no matter who you are or where you are in your journey, and maybe you don't even have a journey. Maybe you feel like you haven't even started a journey. We believe that Jesus welcomes you at his table. So a couple of table texts in the Gospel of Luke. This first one in chapter 22. This is Jesus celebrating the Passover with the disciples and inviting them to practice this table over and over again as a part of their rhythm as disciples. I've made the claim that I think that Jesus means not every Sunday, but every day. That every time you break bread together, remember me. This is a part of that text in verse 17. Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. By the way, I think that he means by that his resurrection. We're going to see that in a moment later in the Gospel of Luke. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, by the way, he gets a little out of order here for our church, us Church of Christers, right? Cup, then bread, then cup. Anybody ever notice that in the Gospel of Luke? Anybody ever grow up in a church where someone accidentally blessed the cup before the bread and the church panicked? You know, he took the loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. One little side note I want you to notice about this moment of communion with Jesus is that it's a meal together. He shares the bread with them, and then Luke says, then after the meal, they share the cup together. The communion really is meant to be a fellowship. It's a communal experience. It's not just, it does include this sort of holy meditation, this mindfulness of the suffering Christ. And it also very much includes the fellowship of the saints, because our fellowship together is what is born out of the event that we're celebrating at the table. But what I want us to notice this morning about this moment with Jesus is the suffering of the table. The suffering of the table isn't just the cross that is looming over the table, which the disciples can't understand. We read this through the mind and the heart of Jesus, that Jesus understands he's making his way toward the cross for the sake of humanity, and therefore it is a table of suffering. It is the heart of this table is a woundedness. It is the mindfulness of the brokenness of the world that is the meal that is present at this table. And the betrayer's hand is resting on the table. This informs us going back to Psalm 23, the table in the midst of the valley, the table in the midst of the brokenness of people. This is the nature of God, to enter into the darkest of the dark, the man at the table who will betray the beloved. It doesn't get darker than that. He will betray him for money. What's worse than that? The betrayer is at table with Jesus, and Jesus invites him too into the table of brokenness that we will celebrate as our redemption. Well, Jesus, after this table, will make his way to the cross. He'll be buried. The disciples will mourn, wondering if they had once again, they'd had this sort of litany of false messiahs, believing that this was the one. They were sure that Jesus was the one, but they can't rectify in their minds how a messiah sent by God, the Son of God, could die, that this is part of the story, die at the hands of the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders. And there's a story, it's one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, in Matthew chapter 24. There are a couple of disciples who think that Jesus is still in the grave. They're on their way to a town called Emmaus. And Jesus has risen from the grave, and he's making appearances to disciples. And he joins them on the road. Sue, you're in here. We celebrated your birthday without you, by the way. I did not tell them how old. Starts with a 6, I'll say that. Jesus joins these disciples. So what I want you to receive in this story, Jesus joins the disciples in the midst of their suffering. It's easy to read that as, well, Jesus has risen from the dead, let's celebrate. These disciples don't know that. They've invested everything in this Messiah. He joins them in the midst of their suffering. And what do you think that he does with them? What does God do for sufferers? He meets them at table. In chapter 24 and verse 28, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because, by the way, they don't recognize him. They don't know that the risen Christ. They don't see the Messiah in him. Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Luke is the table builder. In Luke's gospel, the question is, who will God welcome at his table? And at the very end of the gospel, and then the beginning of Acts, it's full of table story. The table of suffering for these disciples, wondering about God's presence, wondering about God's plan, wondering if God has abandoned them. And Jesus meets them at table. It's when Jesus is at table and he breaks bread. He says, I'm not gonna share the bread, and I'm not gonna share the cup until the kingdom has come. It's when he breaks bread that their eyes are open and they realize the kingdom has come in the midst of our suffering. God has built a table for us in the valley. This is beautiful, isn't it? It is a part of the story of the beloved. God builds table for us. When we meet at the communion table every week, we meet at the table of suffering. We remember the suffering of Christ, and we bring our own suffering to the table. We sang this song. I can't remember the exact lyrics, Leah, but something like, we can bring them too. What comes before that? All our fears and doubts. You know, I've said this before, you come into churches and the worship leader says, hey, leave your worries at the door. We're here to celebrate God. That's not the invitation to the beloved. The beloved is to bring your fears and your doubts, your worries and your doubts, bring them too. Because the table is the table of suffering and is the table for sufferers. Sufferers who are the beloved of God. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know there are those in this room who are suffering with all kinds of fears and doubts and wounds. Yesterday, Yesterday at 3 o'clock, this room and the balcony were packed to celebrate the life of a friend of many of ours. He was 57 and died of pancreatic cancer. We're a suffering lot, we are human beings. We don't know what lies around the corner, and we often don't know how we're going to make it through the moment. Small things can become so large for us. It's important to know in the midst of our suffering that we are the beloved and that God builds table for us in the midst of our suffering, a place for us to fellowship with Him. Right, church? Now, here's the thing about the table in the valley. It's important for us to pivot, isn't it? It's important for us to not only be welcomed by the suffering Christ in the midst of our suffering at the table of suffering, to find solace and healing and even celebration over the risen Christ, but we then become a people who welcome the world at Christ's table. We become a people who build tables or set tables for the world, church. We used this imagery a few years ago. We're table breakers. This is what we do. We break tables. And by that we mean going to your granny's house and going to that old table, one person on one end, another on the other, unlatch the latches and break that table apart so that you can do what? You can add more, right? And when you run out of leaves, you get the card tables at. That's where the children and the immature uncles sit, right? We keep adding to the table and adding to the table and breaking it and adding and breaking it and adding. The table isn't a closed table. It's open to you because you are the beloved. And it's open to the world. And we want to do whatever we can to open that table to the world. Right, church? That's part of what Project Kids Eat has been about. Setting table for people who we need. They don't just need us. We need them. Because they're on a journey. So for many of you, raise your hand if you volunteered for Project Kids Eat this summer. Many of you who volunteered, you saw people who are in the midst of difficulty trying to be faithful to their God. We need table with them because they have a story to tell us. And we have a story to tell them. So that's what we're celebrating. Come on up, Julie. That's what we're celebrating this morning. The table of the Lord that has been set for us in the valley and the table that we now set. Keep on coming. The table that we now set for our community. So this is Julie Williams, if you don't know Julie. And Julie is one of our community pastors. You can just stand right here.
I have prompts.
You have prompts? Okay, I'm not done. Okay. Just stand here. Julie and I came on staff the same year. We've been enduring one another for 15 and a half years.
We haven't killed each other yet.
No. And Julie leads our many of our efforts to find ways to connect with our community, to minister to them in their need, but also it's very much on Julie's heart to build fellowship with our community, build community within our community. And I want to, before she celebrates Project Kids Eat, I want us to celebrate Julie. This woman has done such an important work for our church. She's an important leader of our church. And this little church is known throughout Atlanta because of what God is doing through Julie Williams. This is a testament to Shane and Julie, that they have two girls who are now women who have a passion for our community as well. And that has infected our whole church. Right, church? So, yeah. All right, it's all yours.
All right. Dusty about succeeded in making me cry before I even get started. That's not a good sign. Y'all know I love my props. So, this morning, before we celebrate what all happened through Project Kids Eat this summer, I want us to remember a story from the book of Joshua. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River, God made a way for them to cross on dry ground. Then he told Joshua to take 12 stones from the river and set them up as a memorial. Those stones were there so that when future generations asked, "What do these stones mean?" God's people could tell the story again and again and again. This is where God provided. This is where God made a way. This is where we saw God's faithfulness. And I love that because we need lots of reminders. And if you're old like me, you need so many reminders. I have them everywhere. I have sticky notes. I have dings on my phone. I have all sorts of reminders. But oftentimes, we move so quickly from one need to the next. And sometimes we forget to stop and say thank you. And also to say, God, you were faithful there. So this morning, we have 12 slides that tell the story of Project Kids Eat this summer. And I want us to think of them as our 12 rocks of remembrance. Each one represents a different way that we saw God provide and also love our neighbors. Through meals, volunteers, churches, community partners, groceries, books, diapers, feminine hygiene products, all the different ways we saw so many people also come, and they showed up. I didn't think about this. I need another hand. And after each remembrance or celebration or slide, I'm going to invite us to all say together, "Thank you, God, for your faithfulness." Because before we move on to what comes next, we must stop, we must remember, and we must give thanks. So let's look at our first rock of remembrance. Together, we served 7,311 meals this summer. That's over 1,200 more meals than we did last summer. And it's such a great reminder that this need in our community isn't getting smaller. It's actually getting bigger. So we had an incredible opportunity to increase this summer. So we added another apartment complex. But the thing is that always bothers me, these numbers are not just numbers. These are people. These are children. And so when we think of this number, we think of children who are deeply loved by God, that we want to know that they matter. It's also a moment of relief for parents. Y'all, I don't know how many times we go out and parents come to us in tears saying, "I didn't know how I was going to feed my children this summer, and you showed up." So Campus Church, please join with me in saying, "Thank you, God, for your faithfulness." Also, a huge thank you to Sage Dining Services, who cooked every single one of our 7,311 meals. But Sage just didn't cook for us. They took on the heart of Project Kids Eat. They made sure that every child received a hot, nutritious meal prepared with excellence, generosity, dignity, and love. Every day, they cooked extra meals because they couldn't bear the thought of a child being hungry. So I want to say thank you so much to Sage Dining Services. And I'm super sad because we have Chris Frick with us, which we're so glad to have Chris Frick with us. But Halita was supposed to be here, but she had to go to work this morning. She has another job. But Halita is one of our greatest champions for Project Kids Eat. Yes. And those of you who came to help this summer with Project Kids Eat, especially if you were here on the day that her country was playing in the World Cup, you know Halita well, and we love Halita. So Halita, this summer was, the school year started, she's texting me, Julie, I need something to give these kids. So every child that's coming through her line at Greater Atlanta Christian School, she asks, "What did you do this summer? Let me tell you what I did this summer. I fed a bunch of kids, and you need to come help too." So she's giving out our Project Kids Eat cards to everyone, and she is our greatest champion. So, Chris, if you will please stand, we would love to thank you for all the different ways that you make Project Kids Eat possible. Woo-hoo! And we have another one of our Super Zowie plaques that say, thank you for 7,311 meals, y'all. It's so fun. And every day we would come in and Halita's like, you have to see the plate today. And so we would like brag on how beautiful. There were vegetables, there was rice, there was chicken. It was beautiful. So thank you, thank you. So Campus Church, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Pardon why I turn my page. Next, Gwinnett County provided 2,340 weekend meals for free, y'all. So these weekend meals are a beautiful reminder of what happens when a community comes together, each of us doing our own part to help fill the gap, and how God provides. So Campus Church, again, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Y'all, I forgot about my rocks of remembrance. I'm down. Hey, I think I'm on three. Hopefully my math adds up. 1, 2, 3, yes. Okay. Thanks to Christy Dixon for providing my visual aids. All right. Our next thing is 655 volunteer spots were filled by more than 200 people this summer. There, I'll remember. So many of those came from Campus Church, but do you know what? Most of them did not. Most of them come from all different places around our community, and that's my favorite part of Project Kids Eat. We get to meet so many fabulous people, and it's just a beautiful reminder that loving our neighbors brings people together, and often simply just by showing up, which is one of my favorite parts of Project Kids Eat, like I mentioned. So Campus Church, well, and Dusty already asked y'all, if you helped with Project Kids Eat, y'all please stand. I know some of you helped. Yeah, there we go. And Campus Church, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. So also a huge thank you to our partner churches, Perimeter Church, Christ Church Episcopal, Generations Church, all of them came together with us, partner with us, and showed what is possible when we serve side by side in unity. This is one of my passions, y'all. We should be leading the way in love and unity. So it's so cool just having our friends from the Episcopal Church and Perimeter, y'all. They always, Julie, what does Project Kids Eat need? They give us money, they give us volunteers, they give us supplies. It's a wonderful partnership. So, also, we're looking for more partner churches. So, if you have friends or neighbors that go to church, tell them about Project Kids Eat so we can have more partners. So, Campus Church, join with me again in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Y'all, did I put a brick up there? Not for that one? Okay. So, well, I should put a brick up here now. Oh, that's two in a row. Those, I'm trying to be aesthetically pleasing with our children's blocks. So we also hosted several groups and businesses this summer, giving meaningful opportunities for us to talk about and like open people's eyes to food insecurity and the lack of affordable housing in our neighborhood. So we especially love, though, our two favorite groups, were Kids in Action and our student ministry. We love hosting them. Our children and our students showed up, and they showed that you're never too young to help, to serve someone, to see someone, and to befriend them. So Campus Church, again, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I should get a good rhythm and put up the brick right when I talk. More bricks. Did I do that, brick? Okay, our next celebration, our next Rock of Remembrance, is more than 500 activity and welcome bags were assembled by GAC. It was their GAC spiritual retreat and also their Discovery Drama program. Each bag carried a simple but powerful message to the children, saying, you know what? Someone sees you. You matter. We are thinking of you. So Campus Church, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. red brick. Thanks for calling out my next color. So, also, we had 60 bags of groceries and 110 essential items bags that were distributed to families thanks to your generosity. Loving families and also paying attention means that we see all kinds of different needs. So we're able to respond, and y'all do such a great job with providing all the essential items bags. So again, Campus Church, please say with me, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Blue. Our coordinators and interns faithfully lived out the heart of Project Kids Eat by showing up consistently. Each of them took at least a week, sometimes many more weeks than just one, and they helped our families and our volunteers feel seen, known, treasured, valued, and loved. So we also welcome new coordinators this summer. We love having the next generation of leaders coming up together. So we added a couple moms and daughters to our coordinators. So if you're in the room, that's the other great thing. A lot of our coordinators don't attend Campus Church. Not that that's a great thing because this is the best church, but some of them are not here this morning because they're attending at their church. But if you are here this morning, Jamie Denton, Laurel Kinsey, Ansley Picker, you're supposed to stand when you hear your name. Ansley Picker was our Project Kids Eat intern in his home this weekend. Deborah and Everlyn Pinson, Ann and Jane Simmons, Brooke and Claire Felsky, Amy Wilbur, Kristen Wright, and Katie Williams. Find me after church and you get one of these limited edition Super Zowie t-shirts that Christy made for us that has all of our values on it. Those are just for our coordinators, people. I've already been asked, where can they get one? So, Campus Church, again, would you join me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Yellow, thanks. Yellow's perfect because it's our birthday celebrations that we get to do. So our birthday celebrations were made possible this summer by our very own Ansley Picker that we love so much, our Project Kids Eat intern. Y'all, she got to know the kids, and so she picked out the perfect presents for the kids. And we also provided cupcakes for the families because we want every child to know we see you. We know your name. Y'all, we even know your birthday, and we want to celebrate you. So, Campus Church, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. All right, red. Look, I did it all by myself. God also provided through our Project Kids Eat shirt fundraiser, raising more than $3,500. Every shirt purchase, Dusty already said this, feeds a child for a whole week while also sharing the message of Project Kids Eat. And you guys, we have had people contribute to Project Kids Eat because someone was wearing this shirt in their grocery store line and somebody asked them about it and they told them about Project Kids Eat and they did a donation right there. So y'all, it makes a big difference. So we're so glad to be able to wear the message that we want all these children to understand and to know. So, Campus Church, please join with me in saying, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I live dangerously by stacking them precariously. I am not good at Tetris, y'all. So, our last and final Rock of Remembrance, which, you guys, when I started thinking and praying about doing this, there were 12 stones that Joshua put in the middle of the Jordan River. And y'all, we had 12 slides. So I just thought that was cool. Sorry, I thought I'd share. But new this year, we wanted every child to have a tangible reminder that they matter. So when the Street family heard about our hopes to provide 150 shirts so that every child could have a brand new shirt to go back to school with, this family generously covered the whole entire cost for all of the shirts so that every child could receive one. Some of our kids were so excited, y'all. We gave them out about 2.5 weeks before the end of the summer. They wore them every day. They would throw them on and come down to get their meals. And one child was like, told us they had never had a brand new shirt before. They're the youngest. I was the youngest. Y'all, I had to wear boy hand-me-downs because my older brother was older than me. So I know what it's like. But this child was so excited to get a brand new shirt. So this is one of the neatest things that we've been able to see this summer. We see our I Matter shirts up and down Indian Trail. And so on Friday, I have to tell this quick story. So on Friday, Vanguard Flooring, who came and helped this summer and contributed so much to us, said, we were going to lunch, and we saw kids walking down the street with I Matter shirts. So they want to help us again at Christmas and Thanksgiving. So I just think it's a beautiful reminder of how God always provides. So our next little section, we're going to take a little journey together, and we're going to walk through the gallery and have a little time, a little prayer walk through the gallery. There are signs there that explain different challenges that our neighbors are facing. And as you go, I ask that you go and you walk. This is hard for a lot of us, in silence. So we want you to be reading the signs and thinking about all the different ways, all the different challenges that our neighbors are facing. So we've looked at our 12 rocks of remembrance, 12 reminders of the ways that God has faithfully provided and loved our neighbors through Project Kids Eat this summer. But in Joshua, remembering God's faithfulness wasn't meant to leave people just looking behind at what God had done. Remembering gave them the courage to trust God for what he was about to do next. And we think God is about to do some pretty great things next for Project Kids Eat and for Campus Church. So that's our invitation today. As we move into our time of giving, we don't give out of obligation. We give out of a sense of gratitude. Giving is one of the ways that we say, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And I want to join you in the work that you're already doing right here in our community. So perhaps our prayer isn't only, God, what should I give? But, God, what or who do you want me to see? And how do you want me to respond? So in just a moment, we're going to carry those questions as we walk through the gallery. So as we walk, I would invite you to read, to pray, to listen. Not because we have a problem or we have to solve all the problems, but because we want God to shape our hearts, to help us see our neighbors as he sees them, and to recognize where he might already be inviting us to join him. So we're going to go into the dining hall to a time of communion, and that place has become a sacred place for us this summer. It's where we packed all the 7,000 meals. It's where volunteers gathered. It's where we offered prayers over the meals and for the children and families we were able to serve this summer. So we began this morning by remembering God's faithfulness. And at the table, Christ reminds us once again to remember his body, his sacrifice, his love, and God's great faithfulness to us and his provision. So as we leave the room, let's carry gratitude with us. Let's remember, let's give thanks, and let's listen. We have celebrated where God has been faithful. Now let's listen to where God is inviting us to join him next. So for those of you online, we're so sorry we can't carry you to the gallery and to the dining hall with us. So this concludes our online portion of our service. But those who are in the room, if you could please stand and go ahead and make your way into the dining hall.